every infection that does not occur doesn't have to be treated. So antimicrobial stewardship, like we call it, is actually biosecurity and preventing of transmission of infections in the herd. Yeah? So that is what is really necessary.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you.
All right. Welcome to this edition of the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast by Wisenetics. I am Craig McConnell. I'm the Director of CE and Vet Med Extension at Washington State University. And today we're welcoming Dr. Herman Barkema, who is joining us from Calgary. He completed his DVM and PhD degrees at Utrecht University in the Netherlands. Spent some time as a manager of a large dairy and beef herd in Costa Rica, taught bovine herd health at Utrecht, has worked as an epidemiologist for the Dutch Animal Health Service, and eventually landed in Canada, initially at the University of PEI, followed by his time now at University of Calgary, where he founded the Department of Production Animal Health and is currently a professor of epidemiology of infectious diseases with a joint appointment in the Department of Community Health Services Sciences of the Cumming School of Medicine. So Dr. Barkema's research program focuses on prevention and control of diseases in cattle herds, including antimicrobial resistance. So thank you for joining us. And what I'd like to do is just start on the topic at hand, which is that we're going to touch on the necessity and practicality of reducing the use of antibiotics on dairy farms. And my initial question to you would be, from a herd health and public perception standpoint, why is it that reducing antimicrobial use on dairy farms is more than just a recommendation?
I think it is still a recommendation because there are farms where I would not recommend reducing the use of antimicrobials. But on farms with an excellent management that have a bulk tank somatic cell count that is relatively low, and therefore not a lot of high somatic cell count cows, subclinical mastitis, and also don't have too much clinical mastitis, yes, it would be really good to do that. We don't want to get into the situation of what we see in countries like Brazil or in China or other countries where most of the bacteria are getting very resistant against antibiotics. And that really limits our options for treatment of mastitis in cattle. So it is not just for public health. I hear that often. Yes, indeed, there is transmission going on. We don't know exactly how that works. We think it's going through to the water. But another reason is that it also, these, for instance, Staph aureus, transmits to people. And so it is really a danger for the people working on the farm, particularly if you have people that are immunocompromised, so people that, for instance, have cancer and get treatment for that, or any other chronic disease that the immune system is put down, then the last thing they want is getting a bug from a cow that is resistant. So we want to prevent that as well. And then also, it's just not needed. If you have a low somatic cell count, most of your cows are drying off, actually don't have an infection in it. And if your dry cow management is good, then you don't get a lot of infections from the bedding or the environment of the cows. So you really don't need it. What you should do is actually have a teat sealant that you use. And of course, the cows that have a higher somatic cell count or have had clinical mastitis during that lactation, you need to treat. But we can really reduce it for all kind of of reasons. And why we can do it is because the bulk tank somatic cell count has really decreased in the last decades, because everybody implemented blanket dry cow treatment, tea dipping. Milking machines now are way better than a couple of decades ago. Milking technique has also improved. So, and also the genetics of the cows is better. So we can do it. So, but on a farm with a somatic cell count, in the 300 or 400s, then thousands, then I certainly would not recommend it to do. But then they need to look very critically at their management. Why is it that they have that many cases, many infections in the udder? And why do they have that many cases of clinical mastitis? There is always a reason for it.
Wisenetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access wisenetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. And I think my next question is sort of framed by what you said, but at the same time, there may be so much detail in what you just said that my next question is actually dumbing it down too much. So I was going to ask, in practical terms, what management changes or preventative strategies have the biggest impact on lowering antimicrobial use without compromising animal health or productivity? Maybe there's an answer there, but maybe the complexities of dairies make that almost impossible to answer. I'm not sure.
Maya, but you know, every infection that does not occur doesn't have to be treated. So antimicrobial stewardship, like we call it, is actually biosecurity and preventing of transmission of infections in the herd. Yeah? So that is what is really necessary. And with the gram negatives like E. coli, Klebsiella, that comes from the environment. Yeah, but with the others, the gram-positive, like we call them, Staph aureus and the streptococci, those are transmitted mainly during milking. Good functioning milking machine and everything that we know for decades still applies.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So. Then sort of wrap this all up with a bow, what are the most common concerns producers have about cutting back on antibiotics? And how can veterinarians or advisors help them make a safe transition confidently as well?
One of the things, if you look at selective use of antibiotics at drying off, is that they are afraid that they will have more clinical mastitis after calving. Well, that's also, yes, that needs to be monitored. And also new infections, so a higher somatic cell count after calving. Well, if you switch to selective dry cow treatment and then get it, then you really need to look at the dry period. Is the hygiene good enough in the dry period? Is the management around calving good enough? Yeah, and that, I would never advise switching to selective dry cow treatment in a farm where the whole dry cow management is suboptimal. Yeah, so that is something that I also really look at. And then with clinical mastitis, it is important to look what bugs play the major role. Yeah? And, E. coli, all the treatments that we have, no, they don't work against E. coli. Yeah, so it's actually only with the gram positives like Staph aureus and the streptococci that those work. So it's important to really do some culturing of your clinical mastitis cases. And the higher the number of E. coli relatively is, or even Klebsiella, the more you can reduce the use of antibiotics. But it is more complicated because you need to culture. Yeah. And then wait a day before applying antibiotics. Of course, if the cow is sick, then treat. But also treat than with medicines, with drugs against the symptoms. Yeah? And we call that NSAIDs, for instance, so that the cow doesn't die because of toxins. So it's really important to do that with the veterinarian and look at what the situation is, and then keep the finger on the pulse and really look what is happening after you do it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think what you're saying, if I could summarize, is something that we sort of try to impart to the students across vet schools, which is don't just use the Band-Aid, understand the system, right? Be part of the system, be part of the management team.
If I can hammer one more point.
Yeah, please.
Education is really important in all of that. Make sure on the larger farms where you have personnel that everybody is on board with it.
Yeah, right.
The milkers need to understand all this. And it needs to be something that that everybody is proud of, that they can do it.
Perfect. Hey, that's a great place to finish up. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time. And we'll look forward to meeting you again in the future.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you.